Ken, I wonder if I can ask you to open fast in prayer this morning, if you don't mind, please.
Amen. Oh, Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful day that you've made. Jesus, we know you are Lord of Lords, and you are the King of Kings. And Lord, as we come before you this morning around your table, Lord, we sit ourselves before you and we ask, Lord, that you just bless this time, bless this meeting, bless everyone that's hearing it, Lord, and just may it bring a light and life to those that hear it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Ken. So this morning, we are going to put every single one of us on the spot. We discussed last week that we're going to share some testimonies, and nobody is going to get around not to give us a testimony, because I'm sure everybody has got something that's beautiful. So I think let's kick off with that. And Freek, I hope that Peter joins us just now. But okay. So shall we go? I just made a couple of notes here. You know, what is a testimony? Because sometimes it's you think you put you think you know, but it's good to just refresh your mind. Goeiemôre, Samuel. I just made a quick note here. A testimony or getuienis is a personal account of a Christian's faith journey. I think this guy that wrote that put it down very nicely. It's a personal account of a Christian's faith journey. And the purpose of a testimony, and I mean, there's many purposes, but I just made some points here, is obviously to honor God, to demonstrate God's power and ability to deliver on his promises, you know, the promises that he's got everything good in mind for us. And it is also to encourage other people that the same can be done for them. You know, it's a powerful witness. You know, Henry keeps on talking about Freek writing his book, his testimonies, because it could be such a powerful and I think all of us can say that we have a powerful book that's in us that needs to be written, or testimonies that needs to come out. You know, I think we can all every one of us has got a testimony of what happened yesterday and the day before and the day before, and so every day before that. So I want to encourage you. Who's going to be first? Put up your hand. And don't be shy. Anthony, I've got a suspicion you must be first, but let's listen to the guy's testimonies. You know, every time Anthony shares with us, there is a testimony or two in it, and it's so powerful. You know, he thinks that he's putting the spanner in the works, but it's actually not. It's his testimony. You know, it is his life experience, and that's what it's all about. So I see Samuel put his hand up first, so Samuel, go for it.
Yeah, good morning, Mentor, and good morning, everybody. Yeah, because I see always I have to leave big time, so it's better for me just to come in first.
Pretty good.
Yeah, no, Mentor, the introduction is good, and what no Mentor has said about the testimony is exactly also what I wanted to say. But I shall also add that a testimony is also a personal encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. Most of the times, especially in churches, when people talk of testimonies, then you realize that some people never met Jesus Christ. They only heard of Jesus Christ from the pulpit, from the pastor. And when they read the Bible, at least days when I drive around, then I met people, especially young people, and I asked them, "Where are you going?" "I'm going to church." "Oh, really? Are you born again?" "Yes." Now, just simple question, why are you going to church? Then the person, no answer, he don't know. Well, what is the purpose of going to church? So from the answers, I realized, but this person has never met Jesus. So he, how much more, even he or she don't even know what is a testimony. When did you born again? How long are you now a Christian? You don't know. So people need to be educated so that they have to encounter Christ and the power of God. Yeah. Okay. In conclusion, in my life, a test, my especially my testimony is to exalt Christ, and also that people can see that there is a possibility that if God can do in my life, he can also do in their life, no matter how difficult or dark a situation is. Yes, that's the reason I give my testimony. So my testimony is most of the time connected to my past, how God took out from my past and put me in the present, and it's not taking me to my future. Yeah, thank you, man. So
Thank
that's
you.
all I can add. There are so much more that we can say about a testimony or around testimony, but that's only what I can say for now. Thanks
Thank
very
you, Sam.
much.
Thank you. So I'm actually looking for specifically your testimony, you know, and it doesn't have to be the big thing. You know, is that thing that happened yesterday that you, as good morning, Peter, welcome. We were getting very worried that we didn't see your face then.
Oh, sorry, I overslept.
good. You know, there's a couple of things that has to be on the transformation table, and if your face is not there, then there's you know, everything is wonky. You know, the
Okay, it looks like Menzo's got a bit of a Wi-Fi issue, their connection issue. So I'll continue with a testimony of something that happened with me in this time of the year, this festive season. A few years ago, to be honest, it was the end of 2001. I was looking after a house of one of my friends that was on holiday in Krugersdorp, where I stayed at that time, and he asked me to look after his house. And they were on holiday, and it was a very special time, but also a very lonely time for me, because I remember the previous year when he asked me to look after his house. We were drinking, we were using drugs, we were partying. It was a chamosh. But a year later, saved by the grace of God, I stayed there alone, no parties, no drugs anymore, nothing of that time. But I remember it was on Christmas, old Christmas Eve, if I can say it like that. And I was alone watching a Bill Gaither video of their songs. And I had a very special time with the Lord, only me and him. And so I remember I asked the Lord, I said to him, "I don't want to be alone next year this time. I really want to ask him if I can have my wife, if I can meet my wife, the one that he has chosen for me, because I already was through a divorce and so many messed up relationships with women." And I asked the Lord, I said, "Please, I've got to promise what you said in the beginning, Menzo, and I'm busy in the book of Hebrews. And it's all, the Hebrew writer all talks about trusting God for his promises. And every promise of God is yes and amen in Jesus Christ." And I remember the Lord gave me, somebody gave me a word one day where I was ministering at a business. And afterwards, I was on my way to the car, my car, and a guy called me back and he said, "The Lord told me he's going to give you your wife back." And I thought, oh goodness, it may be the woman I was married to in my first marriage, and that was not an easy marriage. But you thought, okay, but I believe it was the wife that God ordained for me to have, to be with before He created this earth, the one that He puts you with, the one that He has chosen. So say in Afrikaans, the daksel for the pot. You know, it was like, yes. And I asked the Lord, I said, please, Lord, Father, I'm asking you next year, this time, please, can I, don't want to say I want to be married to her yet, but can we be together, that we can spend Christmas and this time together? And I remember, there's always, when it comes to, a lot of times when it comes to the promises of God, it's very, how can I say this? It's strange to see. And I also want to say it's funny, but it's also be very careful. There's always an Ishmael before the Isaac comes. Isaac comes. You know, the Ishmael looks right, but that's where Abraham and Sarah just decided they must help God to do what God has promised. You know, we must also bring our son. And God just said, trust me. So Ishmael is somebody that looks right, sounds right, it looks like the promise, but you do the work. And most of the times, that Ishmael can give you a lot of headaches before the Isaac comes. And I remember I was in a church and at that time and where I was and fellowship, and a couple in the church saw that every Sunday or at services I'm alone. And they approached me and they said they are having a birthday party and they believe they want to introduce me to somebody that they think we can be good friends. And so I went and unfortunately, luckily, we didn't connect, me and this woman. She was a nurse, but their younger daughter and myself, we got into a discussion and had actually a great evening. And one of the things that she said to me is she always wanted to work in prisons. And I thought, oh, this is the one. This is the one. And I remember we started off just having coffee. She did a course with me for prison ministry, Kairos. And, you know, you believe in a beautiful young girl, a young lady. And I thought, maybe this is the one, you know, that she loves prison ministry. Yes, it sounds like the right one. She will travel all over with me and she will support me and be behind me and beside me in my calling, because I always tell the people, especially in prison and young people, you cannot afford to marry the wrong person. Because if you marry the wrong person, your calling is going to get damaged. And so I remember one afternoon I was lying on the bed taking a power nap or trying to take a power nap, and the words came to my spirit. It was like it dropped into my spirit. You keep your distance, I'll keep my promise. And immediately I knew this is about this relationship with this lady. And I phoned her. But I remember it was like, I remember these words comes out of a song, but I couldn't get it. I can't get them, but you keep your distance, I'll keep my promise. And I phoned her and I said, listen, this relationship is not from God. And she accepted it also and blessed her. And 2 days later, I walked into an office of a friend of mine. And Hannah was there helping them with a website that she built for them. And I ran afterwards outside behind her and I asked her, I also want a website for my ministry at that time. And she said to me, no, she will help me. And that's how we started off being friends. That's why in COVID, she's still my best friend. We didn't know we had enough to say to each other because we started off as friends. And amazing, amazing person that God brought into my life. And that next December, this time of the year, a year later, what I asked the Father and what I reminded him of his promise. He brought this woman into my life. We've been married now for almost 21 years. She, up to now, didn't build my website. I had to build it myself. But by the grace of God, four children, products of love. And this is my testimony this morning for somebody listening. I know December, especially you in prison, is listening to us on the radio or to the podcast. I know that December is a very difficult time for a lot of people, because it's a time for family, it's a time for love, it's a time for give. It's a festive season, and there's a lot of us that's there is nobody, or nobody comes, or I'm lonely. I can't go on like this. Just remember this testimony this morning. This is my story, and I always say it's his story, because he brought her into my life, and he heard my cry out to him when I asked him, please, I want to be there next year. Yeah, but with the woman that you have promised I'm going to get married to. And God is faithful. God is good. I married a woman, and I had an awesome December that year later with this woman, and still having an awesome time with her, especially in this time of the year, because every time when it comes to Christmas Day, I remember the gift that God gave me. The gift that I must every day open up with love, and the more I open up my wife with love, the more love comes out of her. What you put in her, you get back in 100-fold, 200-fold, 1,000-fold. Encouragement, please, don't give up. Keep on walking. Something good is waiting around the corner for you. Thanks, Menzo.
Like a beautiful testimony there. And it is, again, that story of, you know, you must seed. If you plant apple trees, you're going to harvest apples. If you want to not be lonely this December, plant a seed, make friends. If you want to, you know, we've said this. If you want to have good friends, be a good friend. Yeah. If you want to, you know, it is that seed that you plant. Unfortunately, it's not instantaneous.
Mm.
You have to pedal. You have to do it.
Yeah, but you know, expect a harvest.
Absolutely, absolutely beautiful. Sue, you've got your hand up. Thank you.
Yeah, good morning. I feel like I owe you guys an apology. I'm probably... Oh, no, it's bad here. Go and see me. I'll
no
just try and check the screen a bit. Yeah, I'm kind of lurking in the shadows here, and you were saying too much. Yeah, I joined this channel kind of on the strength of the Bloemfontein meeting last year, what was it? And joined the community chat because we are on a farm in Eastern Cape, and our farming community is sort of quite an essential part of our lives, and our labor community, workers, and all that. So that's how I got here. And then I think the connection was sort of the prison work. I'm not involved in prison work at all, but it interested me because we visit a guy who's in prison who used to break into our house all the time. Whenever we'd go away on Saturday afternoon for tennis matches, we'd come back and find our house been broken into, and he's been helping himself. And yeah, he was a kid who grew up in the community, and yeah, he just became a baddie, and everybody in the community just wanted him out, dead. They just hated him because he was a nuisance to everybody. He was a nuisance to all our staff. He used to steal their chickens and cook them in the pot, and that he stole out their house and all that kind of stuff. So, and then he became quite a bad element after that. And it became a bit of a problem in our community because I read a book, Out of the Black Shadows by Stephen Lungu. He grew up in Zim, poor black guy with no hope, stealing out of the dustbins of the white people and stuff like that. And it just made me realize that there is hope for everybody, because this guy, nobody wanted to give him a second chance. And this just made me realize again that the power of God, there is a second chance. And so we started visiting this guy in prison. He's due to come out now in January. He spent most of his life in prison. He's probably about 38 now. And I think he's been in and out of jail since he was about 14. So I'd really hope that we would have something lined up for him that he can do when he comes out in January, but we haven't come up with anything yet, and he can't come back to our community. He will not be welcome here at all. Most of the people think that we are completely crazy, that we are kind of visiting him, and that they say, well, a leopard doesn't change its spots, and there's no chance for him, and all that kind of stuff. So, okay, so that's why I became interested in this channel, and I kind of think, well, I don't know why I'm here, but every Thursday morning, I kind of find myself here. So, I missed last Thursday. We're also, farming. So sometimes at 6 o'clock on in the summer, it's hectic here already, but sometimes it's not. So, Samuel, I think your testimony was very quickly, and I know that I've been very interested in hearing most people's testimonies, that one is attracted to. The testimonies are hectic, and I remember always thinking that I don't have that. I don't have a testimony. I didn't come from this radical thing that I've burnt all my CDs from my past and all that kind of stuff. And then I realized afterwards that it's actually such a valuable testimony to have a testimony that you can speak of God from when you were young. Like, raised in a home where my parents loved God. And it just helped me so much through my life, because I was always trying to do what God wanted me to do and to do what my parents wanted me to do. And I think it just saved me so much heartache through, Flex talking about first marriage, second marriage, because I could probably have strayed badly if it wasn't for the fact that I was trying to follow God. And I also, when I met my husband, we were both at, well, he was in the army and I was at university. And then also a case of, like, he wasn't, we'd visit every now and again, but it wasn't like a boyfriend thing or whatever. And all my friends said, oh, but you must phone him and invite him here. And I said, no, if it works out, it'll work out. I'm not running after him and all that. Many years later, like 6 or so years later, we eventually got married. And for me, that is one of my biggest testimonies, is the fact that, God gave me a person. I mean, we, what, how many, I don't know, 36 years down the line, and he's still the person that, if I had to choose for myself and without God, or, he was a person that I would have chosen. And so I really thank God for that part of my life, for really honoring my weight. And so we're still paddling on the farm. We are very much part of our Eastern Cape community here, and I just see how important it has been to us to have been following God all our lives, my husband and myself. We have our ups and downs. Our farming has our ups and downs. Our spiritual walk has our ups and downs. Just been through a bit of a period of asking lots of questions. And it's just so amazing to know that God is our stability. That gives us our hope for every situation. I think that's about it for now. Yeah, thanks for this chat here. It's very, very refreshing every Thursday morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Sue. Thank you. Yes, I just recall there's a saying that says the only thing that's constant is change. But it's not
Absolutely.
true. The only thing that's constant
Yeah, okay.
is God.
It's God. Yeah.
Is God. The only constant is God.
It's
But
God.
yes. We will go through those curves and straights and high speed and low speed and lows and highs,
Yes.
but God stays constant. And if it wasn't for that, we would have been in big trouble. But thank you. Thank you, Sue. And it, I believe God is the God of many chances. How many? I don't
Many.
know. Many, many. And yeah, we've got guys like that in our community as well. It is a thorn, you know, it's that stone in your shoe, the thorn on your side. They're constantly breaking in, you know, especially at our factory, and they're just stealing the silliest things. You know, it is the nuisance, not the damage. And yeah, we are ons is raad op. But yes, that's a story for another day. Atman, I see you've got your hand up. Go for it.
Good morning, everyone, and yeah, thank you, Menzo. Hi, to listen to Sue now. Yes, Sue, I can tell you, you are sitting someone now looking to you who did not only steal chickens, but did some very more worse things that you will ever believe. But I'm sitting here and I can really, like Paul say, I can boast in the Lord for what he has done in my life. So many bad things happen to me, and so many bad things I did to other people. But still, God loved me so much that he rescued me out of that pit. And I do believe you must not see it today as a small testimony. That is a really big testimony for you just going back and visiting that guy in prison. And one day you will reap the results. Like people who invested in my life. I can remember I'm outside of prison now for 15 years. And still next week I must going back to the late Dr. David de Villiers' daughter because she want to know how am I doing now, because she was the one who took me by hand, and she was the one who helped me and asked me, "Hey, can you do this? Can you do that? Can you do that?" I said, "No, I cannot do it. But if someone just show me or teach me and coach me, I will be able to do it." And now I can go back anytime because he sent me for trainings, he sent me for many things, and I became out the best of all those students in the end. And today, if she need anything to be done, they will call me out, and I can go there and really bless them. That is what the Lord can do. If I'm looking back in my life, and especially now in 2024, it was a very difficult year. It was one of the most challenged years in my life. But still, we can sit here more and more than conquerors. Just through Christ who gave me the strength. I'm just keeping on that scripture that the Lord gave me in while I was still in prison. Matthew 6:33 saying, "Seek first the kingdom of God with his righteousness, and all other things will be added upon you." I think 4 years ago, when I heard and listened to the voice of the Lord saying, "Follow me," I had to make a choice. I had a dream of owning my own house. I was still working there. And just when my dream came true, I just bought the house. The Lord called me. I had to make a choice. There was questions in my mind. How will I pay my bills? How will I do this? But I was obedient. And today, sitting here, while I'm sitting here as an ex-prisoner in my own house, it is just the blessing and the love of the Lord. I never missed any bill in this 4 years. I didn't put anything aside from my DSTV or my insurances or anything did I put aside. And the Lord looked after me, just as he promised in Matthew 6:33. And that's why I'm just boasting in the Lord. And I want to encourage someone who is listening to my voice, even those guys in prison now, and you feel, it is not worth struggling and waiting, and things just want to happen. I was patient myself. I worked for 10 years in the gardens, winter and summer, just following instructions, listening and learning from the voice of the Lord, even in those difficult circumstances. But today, I am reaping the fruit of my labor, because it's a promise of the Lord there in the book of Job that you will reap the fruit of your labor. And today, I want to say thank you to everyone, because you all sitting around this table now, you are part of my testimony. I can remember when difficult times came. I looked through my notebooks and was looking, yes, here we discussed that. Here we discussed that. And this was the advice from Uncle Henry. This was the advice from Umbeno. And I can always remember and be lifted up about what we did around this table. Be blessed and have a wonderful, special holiday time. I love you, and I believe you will be spoiled and blessed by the Lord in this time. Thank you, Menzo.
Thank you, Otman. There's a little bit of good advice. What I've got here is I've got my notebook and my pen in my hand, and I make notes as we go through our meetings, because, and I've got another book here that I, this is my new book now that I got, but making those notes and going back through those notes, Atman, is actually amazing. You know, how the timing, God's timing, you know, and the words that came through and the lessons that's getting taught, how it actually is one big orchestra of beautiful music. You know, if I go through back through my book and see, you might remember, the only thing I had that day there in Bloemfontein was my little notebook of the meetings that we've had so far, and how we could, how that was so much information, because I didn't have anything prepared. God didn't give me anything. I mean, minutes before that meeting, I said to God, okay, and now there's nothing. I've got nothing. Now I've got to stand up in front of all these people. And I had stand with the papers on that I wrote some notes on. And as I wanted to lean on that, the wind just came and ripped it apart into pieces. It's still in my office lying like that, because I can't get it apart. And I stood there by myself. You know, I felt completely exposed and naked. And all I had was that little notebook. Yeah. And we started talking about that, and we had such a great conversation. And also with Matt Togarty, you know, just coming to bail me out. But that is how God works. You just have to be prepared to wait. Yeah, wait on Him. Anthony, you've got your hand up. Go for it.
Good morning. I think I'm going to find someone to build me a website.
Awesome.
I'm sure that wasn't what was in his heart when he asked it to build that website. I'm sure of it. I just want to say, Sue, thank you. Without, you know, just that share that you just gave now with the person that's been breaking in, and you being obedient, you know, and just loving Him is going to change his heart. And I've just got this feeling in my heart that I can say, you know what, the community might not invite him in, but if you're going to bring him back into the fold, may the Lord open the door for you there. He's going to shine in that community, and He's going to show people when Jesus changed you, then the spot changed. You don't stay a pig, you become a sheep. for the group, I just wanted to say, guys, the testimony that I want to give is how you've changed me. Menzo, your nappy story is in my life every day. The Lord reminds me every day that I am not the nappy. The nappy is what I wear. And maybe you can share that somewhere down the line again, so that the people know what we're talking about. Truth be told, this is also a very difficult time. Through my years, this has been a very difficult time for me. Every December, I seem to be going through moeilike tyd. It's not an easy time, not only because of not really being part of a family, and but especially this year, it's kind of the Lord closed the doors in areas where used to be open for me. He closed the doors, and I started questioning my value in him, and I started questioning whether God really loves me. And I think I voiced that also in the questions that I asked, and then through your encouragement here in the group, and also through the church, which is something that I struggled with through the years. I struggled to be part of a church. Part of a church community, which is very important. The Lord wants us to be part of a church because that's his people, that's his bride. He died for, and how, no matter how imperfect they are, he wants us to be part of it because we're part of the bride. And that's a relationship that I struggled with, and I asked the Lord that he would help me with that. And he actually opened the door in that area of my life, and I changed my perspective of whose I am, something that Uncle Peter has said over and over and over, and it's also something that the Lord uses prominently in my life, is to remind me whose I am and not who I am or where I am, what I've done. Because I don't have a lot of success in terms of this physical life. I haven't achieved a lot in life. I didn't try. I didn't believe in myself, and so I didn't pick my life up. And I don't have anything to boast about. In the world, you want to boast, I get a car, and I've achieved this, and I've made this of my life, and this is where the Lord's brought me from to here, and I don't have that. I don't have that, and there's a big shame that I carried. I couldn't forgive myself for that. And then the Lord helped me with the forgiveness through the church and through the transformation table. And the Lord just showed me that he used the example of Jacob and Esau. And he regularly uses it now because this is exactly where I am. Dit gaan nie goed met my nie, op oomblik nie, in terme van fisies nie. Really, it doesn't. It's been the hardest year that I've ever had since I've been with the Lord. It's really been the most difficult year in terms of finances, in terms of growing in him and becoming part and walking into the ministry. It's been a difficult year. And I got to a place, and Uncle Peter also reminded me of it when he said that, is that you can't earn God's love, I wanted to do this to earn his love, and then I wanted to do that to earn his love, and it's like God didn't hear me. Hoekom verander hy nie? En toe sê Oom Pieter iets een keer op die groep, en hy sê, hoe het hy dit gesê? But the point is, the fact is that you can't earn God's love. You can't work towards God's love. And the next Sunday or the next Thursday, I had a meeting with my pastor at church. Lo and behold, he called me, and I couldn't believe it because he's like the Twitter 2IB, he's the second in charge there. And he called me for a meeting, and I sat down with him, and I was kind of depressed, and what's happening? And I can't understand why the Lord's doing this and why these doors are closed. I'm trying my best here, and I changed there, and I had this experience, and what's happening? Where's the Lord? And then he said, Anthony, but you focus wrong. And it felt so, it was so in sync with what Uncle Peter said that Thursday morning, but because it was me working to earn God's love. Old covenant kind of that Uncle Peter said about. And then he said, Anthony, but you've already been taken out of the dominion of darkness. You've been placed into the kingdom of Jesus. You are already blessed because you've been taken out of the dominion of darkness. God loves you, and you need to work from the position of love, not towards the position of love. And it changed my perspective. And then the Lord reminded me, he said, Anthony, you know, let's go look at Esau and Jacob. And what do you see there? And I started looking at the Jacob and the relationship God had with Jacob. And then I looked at the relationship that he had with Esau. First at Jacob, and then I saw that, you know, God, even before Jacob, he was still a vagabond. He just stole his brother's inheritance and he was running away. And God made a covenant with him and said, I'm going to be with you and I'm going to go with you. And he didn't have any covenant with Esau. And then you go look at what happened to Jacob. And Jacob was, he was robbed of his first wife. Please don't do that when I get my, someone on my website for me. But he got robbed of his first wife. He went through all the calamity. He came back. He had his experience with God. The angel of the Lord, and after that, he lost his favorite son, Joseph, was taken away from him. So he went through all these hardships and difficult things, and there was famine in his land at that time. You know, he went through all these difficult things, and then he said, okay, what did I do with Esau? And then I went and I looked at Esau, and I saw, but there's nothing. There's nothing. There's no movement from God's side on Esau. And when Jacob came to Esau in the book of Genesis, when he came to Esau after he was his 14 years out of it, and he came back and the Lord brought him back, Esau had everything. He didn't want the gifts that Jacob wanted to give him because he had everything. So it was going well with Esau. But there was no movement from God in his life. And I realized, you know what? When God's in your life, the evidence of him being in your life is that you go through difficult things, that you will struggle, that it's not going to be an easy path. But the Lord promises that he's with us. And then the Lord reminded me of what happened to Jesus. And Jesus happened to be on the cross. Well, not happened to be on the cross, but the path that he walked to get to the cross was a difficult path. It wasn't an easy path. He wasn't laden with, it wasn't a straight, smooth highway. It was ups and downs, and he had fights here, and he had to confront people there. And then when he ended up on the worst place that he could ever be, right there on the cross, and then what did he do? He went to, and he showed me in Psalm 22, and it starts off there, my God, where are you? And the whole psalm, if you go read it prophetically, that is the experience that God had on the cross. And then the Lord reminded me, he said, Anthony, when Jesus was in the most difficult time, in the most difficult place that he was, you know what he did? He held on to my word, man. He held on to my word. So I decided, Vete, what? I'm not going to care where, whatever. So if I have to sell everything in my house and I have nothing in my house, I am still going to call you a good God because you are a good God. Your fingers, your life is with me. Your Holy Spirit is with me. And I could sort of, I've got to say, you know, a few days back, maybe a week or so back, I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, with everything that's happening in my life here at the moment, so can you just show me that your Holy Spirit is in my life? And then he gave me this picture of exactly with Jacob and Esau. So if something is, and then James says, he says, count it all joy when you go through tribulations and through things. So I've decided, you know what? I don't care. God is a good God. And no matter what happens in my life, no matter what I see with my physical eyes, I don't care. So I just picked up this attitude and I said, you know what? I'm just going to enjoy it. Lord, I don't have any food in my house. Lekker, thank you. Now I know it looks like my fridge is empty. Everything, at least the water in it stays cold, you know? So I just changed my attitude. And I think that's the attitude that she, when she just gave that testimony, showed there. You know, it's like attitude to say, you know what, Lord, in spite of, I'm still going to go and bless this person. Even though whatever he's done to me, I'm still going to go and bless this person. And you know what's happened? I've had this amazing close experience. I'm so aware of the Holy Spirit with me. I'm reading through the book of Job now. And the Lord is breaking it completely differently open to me. I'm listening to Uncle Peter's stuff on YouTube. And man, I mean, it's just like the word is just, it's fresh to me, you know. And then I got the picture of being in a parskrape, you know. when you make wine, that drywe korrel, hy bly nie net 'n drywe korrel nie. Hy word onder pressure gesit daarso. So ja, I just want to say thank you for the group. Thank you for the group's meant for me. It's been almost 2 years that I've been part of the group, and you know, every Thursday morning there's insight that comes to me. There's things that I can go and chew on when I walk away. Yeah, there's things that I go and chew on, and then but Lord, Uncle Peter said this, or Henry said this, and then I go and borstel with the Lord with it. And I mean, not in a bad way, but I commune with him about what's happening and what do I say and why do I feel this way? And then the Lord would break it open for me. And that's such an amazing experience to walk with God. And you know, Menzo, you gave me that song the other day. So I'm regularly saying, Lord, I want to know what love is. I want to know what love is. No, I've got to tell you, if I look around me, it doesn't look like God loves me. It's a good PSA that like me so anywhere. I've got to be honest with you, everything around me is like falling apart. But I do experience the closeness of the Holy Spirit. And I do know that just like Job, at the end of it, there will be a blessing. And God says in Romans 5, he says there that we go through tribulations. And in 1 Peter 1, verse 6 and 7, he says there that our faith is more precious to God than him, and that he must put us through these things so that he can grow our faith, so that we can be prepared for what he's going to be using us. Because our focus shouldn't be like Uncle Peter said. It's not on this world. It's on what the world, it's the world that's coming. It's not on the temporary stuff. It's on the ewige goeders. It's there where we're going to be forever one day. And that's where God is growing our faith and growing our character. So thank you for the group. And thank you for what it's meant for me. I really appreciate it.
Great, Anthony. I want to challenge you with something. So try in your quiet time not say thank you to God. Not at all. Try and say, don't say anything. Don't say thank you to him for anything. Let's see how long you can do that. Somebody gave me this challenge a while ago and it had a surprising result. So here's your challenge. In your quiet time, don't say thank you to God for anything. Let's see how long you last. I would love to hear your feedback on that in the new year. But thank you. Is there anybody else that's got their hand up? Ken, I thought you had your hand up there for a second. Yabo.
Menzo, thanks very much. Yes, it's been a beautiful time together this year. And I must say that it is in the lows when Jesus picks you up. I was in a very troubled place in sort of 1975 in Rhodesia, you know, from the war and all of that, and living in my small holding. And one night, I was just lying on my bed and I just said to the Lord, God, if you're real, show me a sign. And the most amazing thing happened was where this bright light, just a beam of light, shone through the window directly onto me. And from that moment on, I just knew that there was something more to the God that we serve. I was brought up in a Christian family. It was a beautiful time with my mom and dad. We used to go to Sunday school, made us go to Sunday school. Sometimes not so happy about going to Sunday school, but I mean, you know, parents do what they have to do. You will go. And some of those older churches in those days was very, very prim and proper. You'll wear that little suit and you'll be just dressed that way. And you can't, you know, behave. You know, you've got to just behave and be a good little boy. But in that time when I was on down the road, I knew that the Lord was preparing me for something greater. And it was in 1984. I went to visit Rhema, pretty well near where you, near your place, Rhema. Rhema Corley was preaching at that time. And he gave a powerful testimony. And, it was amazing. I sat right at the very back, you know. I didn't want to be seen, you know. When you go to church, you hide at the back. But God has got something greater. So that church was quite a big round building and sort of the stairs went up and I was at the back, and all of a sudden, this word just came to me, and I had to go to the front of the altar. But man, it was a long walk. The knees were wobbling, and it was a bit of fear as well as that. And I got to that altar, and I just said, "Lord, whatever I've done, thank you. Just take it from me." And at that time, Joburg to Kokstad is pretty far, but I sang from Rhema to Kokstad, and it felt like it took 10 minutes. It was just something so amazing to have that presence of God in your life. And I just want to share with anyone today listening to this podcast, if you're in a lonely place, ask the Lord to show you a sign, and He will come forward. He will really come through for you. And on that, there's such a joy that comes with the presence of God. And I just know that from that day, signs and wonders will follow you. He promised it, He declared it, and He said it, and it does happen. I've prayed for many people, from people to animals to no matter what. God has been faithful and been true. And I just want to say that today, if you haven't given your life to the Lord, do it because He's there for you. He did it for me. He did it, do it for you. And I'm just so excited in Jesus' name for that. Amen.
Amen.
That's it.
Thank you, Kenny.
Thank you.
Thank you. One thing I'm very sure of, there is no sin that you can do that will keep you away from God.
Amen.
There's
That is.
no amount of repetitiveness or whatever. God will accept you. I mean, that theme song of ours, come to the table. You leave your troubles at the door. Come sit by the Savior. Come join him at the table.
That's it. Amen.
That's it. Peter, I wonder if we shouldn't, are we going to take some time and just do our communion together? And then we can maybe continue with some testimonies after that if you guys want. Can I hand the table over to you, Peter?
Okay. All right. I'm just thinking, they call communion, and Anthony used the word when you commune with one another. What would that be? Like fellowship, eh? Almost like a fellowship. Cheers, Peter. And the communion table is called the table of the Lord. And the transformation table is where we do God's business. This is the table of the Lord. This is communion. Every Thursday is Nochmal, whether we take emblems or not. And
Yes.
it is a meal, it is a feast around the Lord's table. And that is something very special, some connection there that we need to make, that we are not just, this is not just a Zoom meeting. This is a divine appointment. In my own life, man, I am so enriched by meeting. I jumped out of bed like you can't believe this morning, because I love my transformation meeting. I love this group. I love you all, and you all have such input into my life. And behind it is God. God is speaking through each and every one of us. I mean, Anthony mentions something I said. That's like amazing to me, because you don't always think you've got value to add. And yet you hear somebody say they were added value, they got value from you. And so this is the table in the Jewish culture. Sharing a meal together is far more than just in the other cultures. It is a very intimate setting. It's very intimate because you see in how they eat, you see in their hands get full of gravy, you see in them drop stuff on their clothes.
the kind of meals that Jesus had, where they didn't have a posh restaurant with knives and forks, and they ate out of a communal bowl. And that's what we're talking about, that communion. And looking back at 24 transformation, have you transformed? To what extent have you transformed? You know, God, Jesus didn't die just so you could have a way to get to heaven. He died not just for your head. He died to have communion with every part of you. Everything, every part of your life. He is in the finest detail of your life. There is nothing that he doesn't know about. Nothing misses his eye. And I'm sure if you look back, there were times when you've messed up. There have been hard times. But all in all, every one of us can look over our shoulder and say, surely, goodness and mercy have followed me through 2024. And if you look closely, soos ek sê, jy moet vinnig kyk. If you look closely, you will see times when you didn't know how you're going to meet this requirement, or how you're going to find rent money, or how you're going to this. And every time he has brought you through it. And looking back, here we are, still standing. Still standing. Now, Luke 4:18 speaks of part of Jesus' mission statement to heal the brokenhearted, restore vision to the blind, and so forth. Is part of his mission statement is to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor, the acceptable year of the Lord. Now, that's not 365 days. That is a season with Christ in our life. That's what that is. As long as Jesus is, you have the favor of God as his child. But you, as Ken said, you need to receive Christ as your savior and be adopted into the Father's family. But we are sitting, living in the favor of God in the acceptable year. 2025, looking forward, we are in a covenant that will not be broken. It's a one-sided covenant. God made it with us. It's not like a marriage contract where the two debate. We can't debate with God. We are not on the same level. And so the word used for covenant, for God's covenant, is like a will and testament. It's God's will. It's God's final say that that he will love us. We will be his people. He will be our God. He will separate us from our sins. All those promises in Hebrews 8. And we are living and breathing that. COVID taught us that not even our next breath is not guaranteed. You know, we are so dependent on God. If he even just slightly moves his hand off of us, we're gone, like a mist in the Free State. And James says that your life won't even leave a sign that you were once there. You will have no legacy whatsoever. But in Christ, we have this wonderful legacy. In 2025, no matter what it brings for us, is a year of continued transformation, of continued communing with the Lord, communing with one another. This is part of our support group. You know, sometimes maybe people like Sue on the farm and Alida on the farm, there 6 a.m. milking the cows. This is part of our support group. She will tell you that she gets the videos afterwards and watches them if she can't make the meeting, because it is so enriching. So 2025, we fly into a kingdom that cannot be shaken, no matter who says what. No matter who says what. He is the Lord of all the lords. Don't follow Musk. Don't follow Bill Gates. Don't follow anybody. Follow Jesus. And he's the Lord of all the lords. And he's the king of all the kings. And his name is above everything that has a name. Absolutely. Whether it is lymphoma cancer, whether it is whatever, whatever, a lack of food. Ma Anthony is right. He's going to come through this thing, having learned what he was to learn. And he will be stronger. And he will live stronger. And he will have grown. And he will then have a testimony. You pass the test, you get the money. Now, I'm not talking prosperity here. I'm talking about God gives us tests that we need to pass. And the sooner we pass them, the sooner we get to the end of ourself, the sooner that's where God exists. God exists in the realm of the impossible. If he just operated in what is humanly possible, we would never acknowledge him. We would never give him the glory. But he operates in the realm of the impossible. So, like Anthony says, when you finally get to the end of yourself and say, okay, Lord, you see, Christians don't give up. We give upward. We give upward. We surrender to the Lord. We hands up to the Lord. So, we need to commit ourselves as we take our emblems now. It's all bought, it's all paid for. I would like to just pray over the emblems. You know the scripture. I just want to pray over the emblems, and I've taken a few moments to allow people to rush off and get their emblems if they forgot them. But Father, in the name of Christ Jesus, I pray that you will touch these emblems now with your righteous right hand. And Lord, make us aware of your presence right here, right now. And I thank you for that. Through the breaking of the bread, our broken situations can be healed. Whether it is a broken marriage, whether it is a physical condition, whether it is broken emotions and it's depression or mental illness or whatever it is, Jesus paid for it. I dealt with a young woman yesterday who had such a soul tie to a former abuser that she was stuck. She could not go forward. And the Lord said to me, pray now to cut that soul tie. And we did that. And this woman literally shot out of her chair as that soul tie was cut. And her face changed. And she was transformed through communion with the Lord. And that is what we are now going to do in taking this bread. Lord, we thank you that you have provided healing. You have provided salvation for every situation. The timing is yours. The strategy is yours. We are yours. And you are committed to us. Let's take that emblem now. Let's take the bread Father, we thank you for healing through the broken body of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. So whatever it is, there where you're sitting, where you need healing, Lord, I'm believing you now for that healing. Whether I can see it or not, whether I understand it or not, it's not my business, it's your business. By faith, I receive now the healing that I so desperately need. Amen. And as we come to take the wine now, the blood of Jesus, we inherited the sin of Adam, father to son, to son, to son, to son. And Jesus came from heaven without an earthly father. The blood of Joseph did not flow through Jesus' veins. The blood of our Heavenly Father cut across that bloodline and created a new bloodline. And we have been transferred from that old, stale, sickened blood into the new, fresh, life-giving blood of Jesus Christ. Now the blood brings new life into every cell, into every area, new life, new strength, new encouragement. And it takes away waste products. It removes. It shows you the things that you need to stop. It shows you the things you need to begin. It shows you, and it enables you to make those changes. It is something absolutely miraculous about the breaking of bread, this communion around this table now with the Lord. So Jesus, as we take now, we call to mind what you have done for us. We remember what you have done. We go back there. And Lord, we thank you that all that garbage you took upon yourself. And we thank you, Lord, that you gave us the freshness of new life, a new bloodline. Thank you, Lord. We are no longer just throwaways or second-rate. We are your children, new in Christ. Let's take that now. And Father, by faith now, we ask for your new life to flow in every area of deadness, every area that doesn't seem to be working. Lord, every direction that we want to take that doesn't seem to open a door for us. We ask, Lord, that your new life come now. It's miracle working power. And open doors for us, the right doors. Send the right woman. Give us the right strategy. Give us the patience that we need to stop trying to control everything. Help us, Lord, to surrender to you, to let go and let you be God. And now, Father, in anticipation of an awesome, mind-blowing, God-filled Transformation 2025. We honor you already. Our eyes are fixed on you. Where you go, we go. What you say, we say. What you want done, we want done. Your slightest wish is our command for this new year. We commit ourselves now to that. We thank you for what is past. Absolutely give you all the glory. But Lord, may this let the adventure begin as we ride with you into this new year. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
If you will allow me, I would like to pray the priestly blessing over you guys. And let's just do that. And I'm speaking it. When we, let me just say this. When you blow up a balloon, your DNA is inside the balloon. Detectives can come and get your DNA out from inside that balloon. When God spoke Genesis, and as the power sprayed from his mouth, his DNA sprayed from his mouth, in his words, everything in the word of God is the DNA of Almighty God. That creative, living, miracle-working power in the Word. This is why the Holy Spirit hovers over the as-yet unformed situations. He's waiting not for our words. He's waiting for us to speak God's Word. And then he takes God's Word with that DNA that brings life. And I'm speaking that DNA over your situation now and over my situation now. And that's why I gave you the context, because it's not just a pastor saying a couple of words. I am sending the very DNA of God, life-changing, into your situation. Let me bless you now. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Shalom, my loved ones. Shalom. Amen. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Peter.
Okay.
Thank you for
Thanks
that.
Thanks for the privilege.
Thank you. Thank you,
I get
Peter.
Excited, man. I talk too much about this stuff.
That's exactly why we're here. That's exactly why we. Awesome. Is there anybody else that wants to give a testimony? I don't know if Freek is going to put this all together, but I'm sure he's going to do, they're going to do their magic. Is there anybody else that wants to bring their testimony? Can I give a quick one, Peter? A lesson that I've learned from you is, if you look quickly in the corner of your eye, you see God loving on you, but you have to look quickly.
Yeah.
So yeah. I'm a little bit naughty, as you know. Sometimes I go look for it. Yeah, I don't wait. I'm patient. I'm very good at. I'm getting better at being patient in that way. But sometimes it's just amazing how it happens, and it's so often in the simplest things. You know, the most practical, simplest things. So you know that with our campfire weekends, it has grown quite a bit, and we're hitting challenges. Like, for instance, hand washing dishes. You know, I worked it out. We together for about 42 hours during a camp. In that 42 hours, we do 5 meals, doing dishes. 115, 120 people by hand is a challenge, you know. So we decided that we will upgrade our washing facilities a bit, and Nico is building us a new room attached to the kitchen. And I said, well, I'll get my hands on an industrial dishwashing machine. And I was busy looking. You know. And then what happened was, I was already one miracle. God gave me some machines. We're going to start a new business in the new year, another type of business. And I bought the machines, and it was, you know, came to me. I actually bought it from a scrap metal yard, and we're busy fixing those machines. That's what I love doing, you know, resurrecting things. And the guy was supposed to load it for me with a forklift onto the truck. And the forklift driver did something, and he dropped one of the machines. Yeah, from loading it from the truck, it dropped it. It fell into, well, It sounded the guy that I bought it phoned me and said, "Menzo, I'm terribly sorry. We dropped one of your machines. It's in pieces." So I said, "Well, where did it drop? Did it drop on the truck?" "Yeah, it dropped on the truck." I said, "Leave it there. Let it come. I'll have a look at it and we'll figure something out because I already paid him for it." And he said to me, "We'll do something." I said to him, "Look, there's another machine that needs to be loaded on Monday." This was a Friday. On the Monday, the other machine has to be loaded. I will come through myself and make sure that it gets loaded on safely. He says, "I'll come through and we'll figure something out that I make right with you." So the machine came the Saturday morning. Obviously, I was a bit anxious. We offloaded the pieces off the truck. And I realized there's no damage to the part I want. The parts that broke off is pieces that I was going to take off in any case and scrap it. The part that I wanted, the essential part of the machine, and it's a beautiful machine that was built in Switzerland, that is all intact. So, okay, there's no damage done. So Monday, I walk into the business premises, and as I walk through the door, I see in the corner of my eye, there's a very nice, high quality industrial dishwashing machine. So I knew already what's going on. I walk in there. When you work, do this. When you walk with God, you already know. Okay, this is what's going to happen. Let's just see how this plays out. I'm not part of this game anymore. So I walk. I loaded my machine. My truck went off, and I went to the guy, and I said to him, "Look, there's actually no issue. What do you want to do?" He says, "Well, we must make this right with you." So I said to him, "Well, I actually got no damage." He says, "Yeah, but it's not right." So I said, "Well, can I have the dishwashing machine?" He says, "Yeah, you can take it, and it came with some other equipment that was with it, some tables that is around it. Please load all of
Wow.
that. You're welcome to take it." Okay, and
Wow.
that is how simple it is, Peter. As basic and as simple. Sue made the point that people has got some beautiful, massive testimonies where they were in trouble in it, but sometimes there's a testimony in the smallest details. God is in the details, the
Amen.
small things,
Amen.
and you're gonna and you have to be awake and see those, but you have to keep on pedaling. You can't sit on your behind on your couch. Because you're
Yeah.
not going to see it. You're going to see
Yeah.
it in your quiet time. But you have to be out there. Pedal. Pedal.
Correct.
Don't take the steering wheel. You know that poem that I'm talking about, the tandem ride with Jesus. Don't go and sit in the front seat again. Stay at the back seat. Let him have the steering wheel. But pedal. Pedal and
Yeah.
pedal hard. If you go downhill, pedal
Oh.
hard. If you go uphill, pedal
Yeah.
hard. The harder you pedal, the more journey you're gonna experience. And so that sounds like a simple and stupid testimony, but for me, when I
No.
walked in there and I saw that silver thing standing there, I just started smiling. I knew,
No.
thank you. This is mine already. You guys can load it so
No.
long. I know exactly what's happening here. I've seen this movie. So yes,
Just a
be in the
fi
detail.
sorry, a final word from myself. God does not play hide and seek. Some people like, I'm trying to find God. I'm trying to find God is there. He's available. God is
Plain
in
sight.
the now. But, and he promises that he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Not those who earnestly seek rewards. Those who earnestly seek him. That's why that blessing speaks of the face of God, a relationship in his face. In his face. Get real with God in 2025, and he will get real with you. Look after his people, he will look after your people. Do his business, he'll take care of your business. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Wonderful.
That would be my testimony for 2024. Yeah. God looked after us. Yeah.
Amen.
I'm talking about,
Amen.
yeah,
He's transformed
many,
us.
many ways. Yes. Yes,
He's transformed us. We're not the same as we were in 23. We have grown. Frecks come through stuff. We've all come through stuff. And here we are, still standing. Awesome. Awesome.
absolutely. You know, there was Thursday mornings that I came to sit here and I was tired, you know,
Yeah.
like a beaten down. You know, I
Yeah.
one or twice I once or twice I even sent Freek a message to say, Freek, please take the steering wheel. I'm dead. You know, I'm
Yeah.
feels like I've been beaten by 10 guys with sticks. And I come and sit here in 5 minutes in our meeting, I feel this energy just coming,
Yeah.
you know, and it's
Amen.
you know, my guys at the factory is figured out if you want to ask the boss something, do it on a Thursday morning when he comes in into work, because he comes in on a Thursday in the best of spirits.
He
You
comes in on a cloud.
know, yeah, exactly. Exactly. So
Oh,
awesome. And
definitely.
Sue, yes, touching our communities on our farm, you know, our businesses, our farms, our communities is our church.
Oh.
That is our church. That's where
You
we
are
do God's
the
work.
pastor. You are the
Yes.
pastor of your business. Yeah.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Absolutely. Anthony?
Okay, great. Sorry, let me close the door. You had work. A shout out to my friends down there. They're sitting in a cell, maybe, and you're hopeless today. My brother, give God a chance, man. I promise you, it's going to be an amazing journey that you have. I don't care where you've been, what you've done. I don't care how far you think you're down the rabbit hole. I promise you that if you allow the Holy Spirit now, where He's touching your heart, if you allow the Holy Spirit, just give Him a chance. The Lord says in His word, He says, if you, as you yourself thought, my nader, the nader my took you. Give God a chance. It is
Amen.
the most amazing journey that you can have in your life. It's beautiful. If you seek God with your whole heart, He will make Himself be found by you. And it's a journey. It's awesome, awesome, awesome. He will look after you. He'll open doors that you think cannot be opened. He'll change things in your life that you think would never be able to be changed. Because He is God and He loves you and He cares about you and He wants to have communion with you. He wants you to look into Him and see how much He loves you. Because He died for you. You are so precious to Him. You're royal to Him in His eyes. And no matter where you are, no matter what situation you are, if you give Him a chance, I promise you, just like Atman, just like me, just like Uncle Peter, just like Wim Henry and Menzo, you're gonna look back in 5 years back in time, you're gonna say, wow, look what God's done in my life. It's worth
Amen.
it.
Amen.
Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Absolutely. Guys, I love you all. Thank you very much for our meetings this year. So this meeting specifically, we need to do this more often, Freya. This was powerful, the testimony. Yeah.
Okay, just to wish you all a happy and a holy Christ feast. Don't look for
Thank you.
Jesus in the malls. You'll only find Santa there. Look for him in your heart. I celebrate every day is Christmas. I celebrate Christ in my heart. Every day my gift has been given and has been received. So, great Christ feast for you.
Thank you.